The theme this year is the mind of a servant. Today we're going to look at how that is applied in mothering. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for designing motherhood as you have. And I pray that as we study upon this today, that each and every woman would understand how this might apply to her and see themselves as your servants and bringing up children in this world. Bless this study. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. God made a woman's body with the capability of bearing children. And there is great honor in God's eyes in doing so. In Psalm 127, in verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." But Jesus also indicated that there is the capacity of motherhood apart from physically bearing children. Even at the cross, remember when his mother was standing there at the foot of the cross, he says to her, "Woman, behold thy son," and to John, "Behold thy mother." Now, Mary did not bring John into this world physically, but Jesus indicates to her that she could provide mothering to John, even though she had not physically brought him into this world. This teaches us that there is more to being a mother than just giving birth. The mothering instinct can be expressed by any woman who is willing to give her life in order to build another life in a child. In fact, the mothering instinct is the heart and mind of a servant. Let's consider, first of all, the matter of bearing children as an act of service. Would you look with me, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 5. There are two verses of Scripture I want us to see together, one in 2 Samuel and one in 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 5. And we're not going to consider the context. I just want you to see the statement as it is given in the verse. It says, "And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am," what does she say? "With child." Now you might want to hold there to see the two verses go together. The other one is in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 19, where it says, "And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was," what is she? "With child," and what does it say? "Near to be delivered." Now consider that. In Scripture, it connects conception with the idea of being with child. It connects being ready to deliver the child as being with child. And what is he telling us? That all the way from the moment of conception to the point of delivery, what is in the womb of a woman? It's a child. That child in the womb, for its entire time in the womb, is the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is described as his reward. The word heritage in Psalm 127 and verse 3 means something that is possessed, something that belongs to someone. And when it says that children are the heritage of the Lord, it's telling us that children belong to the Lord to give as he will give. And then to say that the child is the reward from the womb is to say that bearing a child is a blessing in itself. Now, we read earlier Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16 in our scripture reading, and there it describes the development of a child in the womb. He said there in Psalm 139, verse 13, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." He said in verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." He said, "Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written when in continuance, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." It is an act of service for a woman to have God use her to prepare another person to come into this world. And therefore, bearing children is in itself an act of service, both to God and to a child. But the next point I want to make is that adopting children is also an act of service. Would you go to the book of Esther, chapter 2? Did you know that Esther is probably the most famous orphan and adopted child in the Bible? Well, it was famous, I suppose we would all know about it, but maybe it's something we don't think about too much in relationship to Esther. But go to Esther chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, granted, she's being adopted by her cousin, but still, it's the matter of adoption. And we'll look at another place then regarding the mother and adoption. Esther chapter 2, verse 5, "Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away from Jeconiah," etc. Verse 7, "And he brought up Hadassah," that is, Esther. Did you know that was her original Hebrew name, Hadassah? "He brought up Hadassah," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter." Now, she's not really his daughter, but he treated her as his own daughter. That's the concept of adoption, isn't it? And then we look specifically at what I referred to earlier, John chapter 19. And I want to make a point here. John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. John chapter 19 and verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross," John 19, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." Now, we probably usually assume that Jesus was concerned about Mary and wanted John to take care of her. But something struck me as I was looking at this week. To whom does he speak first? He speaks to Mary first and says, "Woman, behold thy son." There is a need in John's life, apparently, for a mother. I mean, let's consider. John was obviously the youngest of the disciples. 60 plus years later, John is on the island of Patmos, still capable of receiving revelation and writing the book of the Revelation. 60 plus years later. So he can't be really old when he's standing here at the cross. Perhaps a young adult. Did you know that young adults still need a mother's influence in their life? Sure. I think Jesus was just as concerned about John as he was about Mary in this situation. I mean, where is John's mother? Remember, John was the brother of James. And John and James are always referred to as the sons of Zebedee, which is their father. And what was their nickname? Sons of Thunder. You wonder, maybe there wasn't the influence of a mother to calm them down a little bit? I just thought it was an interesting observation anyway. But once again, Jesus is suggesting that Mary can provide some mothering to a young man, even though she is not physically his mother. To make the choice to take on a young life that you did not physically bring into this world, but treat them as your own child and provide the mothering they need, either legally adopting them or acting as an adoptive-like mother, is just as much a service to these children as physically bringing them into the world. Now, bringing up children, and I've chosen that word term very specifically, bringing up children is an act of service either by a biological mother or by an adoptive mother, with emphasis on bringing up children. Would you please go to Isaiah chapter 51? And verse 18, Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 18. Please observe this verse with me. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 18, "There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up." Now, once again, we're not considering the context and the implication of the verse. I want, in its context, I want you to see the distinction between these two terms. On the one hand, she brought forth children. On the other hand, she brought up children. Those are two different things. Bringing forth children is bearing them in your womb and bringing them physically into this world. But bringing up children is a service of promoting and encouraging growth in a child's life. Children need to be brought up. Remember, it was in reference to Esther, Mordecai, brought up Hadassah. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, you might be familiar with this verse, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the scripture makes a point about bringing up children. So I want to take a little time and look at some things involved in mothers bringing up children. And understand that this may be done by any woman who is willing to commit herself to provide these things in a child's life, whether you physically brought these children into the world or not. Would you go to Psalm 131 and verse 2, please? 131 and verse 2. The first point I make is this. Weaning children is an act of service. It says in Psalm 131, verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. Now, weaning is not just teaching a child to eat by himself. Weaning is a much more involved process, and we get the hint of what it involves at the beginning of the verse, where he says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. That is an indication that there is some element of reservation and responsibility evident in this person's life. The word that is used for weaning here is the same word that can be applied to fruit, and when it's applied to fruit, it comes out as being ripe. A mother has the responsibility to recognize when a child is ripe for taking steps towards independence. This is what it means to wean a child. To recognize when a child is ripe for taking steps toward independence. Example. Do you want your child to learn to walk? Or would you rather keep your child in the stroller his entire life? Austin, would you like to still be in a stroller? Pushed around by your mother? You kind of like walking a little bit on your own, right? Yeah. Do you want your child to learn to feed himself? Or would you rather spoon feed your child his entire life? Mothers do not serve their children well by making her children lean on her emotionally, depend on her, or be tied to her apron strings all their lives. Weaning children is a beginning step in the service of preparing your children to be able to function as responsible, independent adults. That is an act of service to your children. Second point, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. The second point is this: establishing guidelines for your children is an act of service. Establishing guidelines for your children is an act of service. Notice what it says, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The word law has the sense of giving direction, teaching customs and manners, providing boundaries, and defining limits. Which is easier to deal with? A wild animal from the wilderness or a domesticated animal from the farm? Which is easier to deal with? Would you rather tangle with a roaring lion from the jungle or a tame sheep in the meadow? Which is better able to be a responsible adult? A child left to himself, as described in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself, or a child brought up by the law of his mother. Just happened this morning. An article showed up on the Fox News website by Kristen Limbaugh Bloom, and just about this subject. She talks about something that her mother would not allow her to do as a child. And she says, I couldn't understand why all my friends were allowed to. I thought it was the end of the world when I was the only girl at school that couldn't do this thing. Her mother said to her at the time, one day when you're older, you'll understand why I'm saying no. She says, back then I thought she was just being unreasonably hard on me, but my opinion slowly started to shift when I went to college. It was there where I began to comprehend the boundaries my parents laid out for me in my childhood. Most of my friends from high school in our small town had a Christian upbringing, but college was different. I witnessed firsthand what it looked like when people didn't have lines drawn in the sand for them, and it wasn't pretty. I saw a lot of pain and instability, and for the first time, I appreciated the rules I had so long resented. She says she called her mother on the phone. She says, there it was. I called my mom and said, well, it happened just as you said it would. I'm older, and I really understand now. She says, I hope you're happy. And we both just laughed hysterically. The law of a mother sets the boundaries, and that is a service to your children. Proverbs 31, verse 1. Proverbs 31, verse 1. Point number 3, teaching children is an act of service. Teaching children is an act of service. The words Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Look at that. Part of the word of God consists of the words of wisdom that were taught to this young man by his mother. How about that? That's impressive. Mothers serve their children by imparting to them words of wisdom that give them tools for dealing with life's experiences. Notice some of the advice she gave to her son. Verse 3. Well, I'll read verse 2. In verse 2 it says, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Drop down to verse 8. She says to him, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. She's giving him good, sound advice. And then she says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Do you realize that this whole description of a virtuous woman is the instruction of a mother teaching her son about the right kind of woman to marry? And that is an act of service to your children. Mothers, you can do the same thing for your daughters by teaching them the right kind of sons to marry. Point number 4, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. Point number 4, comforting children is an act of service. Comforting children is an act of service. It says, and God uses the way mothers comfort children to describe the way he comforts us. He says in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. What is the first reaction when a child falls down and gets hurt? Isn't it usually, mommy? Why not daddy? Because dads might tend to say something like this to their son. Chin up, boy. Be a man and take it. Now, I got this one from my sisters. It'll get better before you get married. Did anybody else ever get that one? I'm 8 years old. How long is it going to take for this thing to get better? But what's a mother do? Let me kiss it and make it better. There is just something about the compassion and tenderness of a mother. She knows how to feel her child's pain and do what needs to be done to relieve the child's burden by carrying it on herself. This is a service only mothers can render. Point number 5, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, the point that I'm making here is that a mother will see to the health of a child, and she will persist. And this is an act of service. So this woman comes to Christ and her daughter has a need. And verse 24, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she in worship and saying, Lord, help me. And he answered in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Jesus seems reluctant to help in this situation. But she persists and said in verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And her persistence makes an impression on Jesus. And he says in verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A mother will take the health of her child seriously and pursue and persist to see that her children are properly cared for. And that is a service to your children. And lastly, teaching children the truth is an act of service. Would you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, will you notice, please, chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Obviously, who taught him as a child? His grandmother and his mother. They taught him the truth. They taught him the scriptures. Now, listen. Sunday school teachers can only give so much in the short amount of time allotted to them. They're valuable, but limited. Youth workers can only give so much in the amount of time allotted to them. They are valuable, but limited. Sermons from the preacher can help, but again, the time allotted is short when you compare the amount of time a mother has the opportunity to spend with her children. And that time should not be wasted by denying children the lessons in the truth of the Word of God they need. Yes, play with your children. Yes, have fun with your children. Yes, enjoy your children. But if you really want to serve your children, teach them the Word of God. Have you brought forth children into this world? That is a service. Service to God and to your child, but it's only the beginning of your service. Children must also be brought up. Have you not had the opportunity to bring forth children into this world? Well, that's okay. You can still bring up children and be a mother to them, either by legal adoption or by assuming the role of an adoptive mother. Either way, bringing up children as a mother is an act of service. It is an act of service to the child by investing your life into the life of the child so that he or she can grow up to be a responsible adult, loving God and trusting Him. Bringing up children as a mother is also an act of service to God, to whom all children actually belong. God wants to use you as a mother to mother His children and prepare them to serve Him. Do you still have children? Serve them as a mother. Are your children all grown up and out of the home? Maybe away a long distance? You can, and I put this word in my notes in quotation marks, you can adopt. You can either do it legally or you can just act as an adoptive mother, you can adopt a child who needs help and be a mother to them. The children that are among us here in this congregation can have lots of mothers. Women who are willing to serve God by influencing young people to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to serve Him. And that is an act of service to God. Thank you, ladies, for your service to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you indeed for each and every woman, young lady, who's willing to commit her life, to invest in other lives, the lives of young children, to teach them, to comfort them, to help them, to provide guidelines, set boundaries, teach the truth, point them in the right direction. Bless our women here today and give them each the mind and heart of a mother servant. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.